This is a Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening for what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better, in Jesus' name. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to Hawley Baptist Church Online. It's great to have you with us. My name's Neil.
I'm Stu.
Well done. Got it right this time. Last time I did this, I actually introduced my name as the person sitting next to me. It was a disaster. So we got the names right today.
Professional.
So that's a good start. Glad to have you with us, whether you're watching live today, Sunday morning, or on YouTube, or podcast, or however you get this. So that's great to have you with us. Coming up, we have the sixth in our series of the seven deadly sins. And here comes a test for you, Stuart. Oh, can you remember any of the five that we've had so far?
Hopefully. So what have you got? Pride.
Yeah.
Greed.
Yeah.
Sloth.
Yeah. I haven't had sloth yet.
Have we not?
That's the seventh.
Oh. Envy.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Lust, I think.
There you go.
There we go. We got there. So hope you've enjoyed those and been with us. If you haven't, go to our YouTube channel and you can see what you've missed. Yeah, and it's been an interesting series because we haven't, I guess sin is a word that doesn't get used a great deal.
And no.
And wrath, I don't think. When's the last time you said wrath in a
sentence? Exactly, yeah. I think those two things are pretty much banned in modern society. You can't talk about either for fear of censure, I think.
Yeah.
And you mentioned sin. People don't like that sort of level of accountability.
So it'd be good to see what Phil Hughes today. Everyone likes Phil, and he'll be great. And let's just see.
Absolutely.
You know, are those two words relevant for us in 2024? Mm. And as a Christian church, we believe yes, they are. There is such a thing as sin. And wrath, you know, and people's wrath is still out there, and it's not it's not where God wants us to be. So let's see what Phil has got to say in a little while.
Morning, all. It hasn't been a straightforward morning. Have you anybody else not had a straightforward morning? We broke down halfway here, so I had to get Neil to come out and pick me up. And oh my word, yeah. So it's not been one of those straightforward mornings, but I'm glad to be here. It's appropriate, really, because we're talking about anger, and I'm rather angry at a bloke who serviced my car on Friday and obviously messed something up. Hence why my car is on the side of the road with the hazards going at the moment, but there you go. Okay, now, why are we doing this series? And Helen was right. Sometimes you do a series on sin. We love that word, don't we? Sin. And we just feel a bit defeated and a bit... Here's why we're doing this and why it's so important. Imagine a little scenario for yourself. Imagine you have a son and he has a pet. It's an unusual pet. It's an 8-foot python. Okay? So you've got a son and an 8-foot python. And he's promised that he will look after this pet. In other words, he will keep it away from you. That's the main point. But one day you come home from work and there's a note on the kitchen table. The note says, "Dear Mum and Dad, I was playing with Fang earlier on and he escaped. I think he went down underneath the floorboards somewhere. Don't worry, he'll come out at some point." Now, you'd be looking for that snake, wouldn't you? I would. How many of you would think, "Oh, that's fine, go to bed, get under the duvet and turn the light out"? How many? Nobody would. Nobody would. You would be crazy to turn the light out with an 8-foot python creeping around somewhere. I don't know about you, but if I see a daddy long legs, there's no way I'm going to bed until it's out the window, quite frankly. I have to get the wife to sort it out. If there is something in your house that could possibly do you harm, you get very focused and you do what? You get rid of it. Don't you? That's what we would all do naturally. The odd thing is, when it comes to our hearts, we're far less concerned and far less proactive. There are all sorts of things that can take residence in your heart. things that have the potential to disturb or even destroy our marriages and our families and our relationships with our kids and with our friends, that can affect our decisions. There are things that can lodge in your heart that can do that. And the odd thing is, when it comes to our heart, we're less proactive about getting rid of that. Jesus said it's out of the heart that all of these things come. Greed, envy, slander. All of these things come from our heart. Solomon said, above all else, you've got to guard your heart. And we do need to guard our heart. And something very dangerous can take residence in your heart, and that is anger. And this morning we're talking about anger. Can we have the first slide? Is that the first slide? Oh, is that the first slide? No. Yeah, that's all right. That's the one. Brilliant. Thank you ever so much. Brilliant. So we're talking this morning about anger. The word is wrath in the seven deadly sins, isn't it? But it's really the word anger more than anything. Most of us know what it is to experience anger in a moment, don't we? I've had that this morning. Most of us know what it is to experience anger in a moment, but some of us know what it means to carry anger, not just for a moment, but through life. And that's the sort of anger I want to talk about this morning. From relationship to relationship, from season to season, we carry anger. And if you don't, you probably know someone who does do that, who carries anger. They're just angry all the time. Have you ever met people like that at work or as you move around? People who just seem permanently angry. The smallest thing will set them off, and it feels like they brought this anger with them. It was already with them before they got angry at you. I heard of someone being very honest once and said, you know, when I'm at work, I'm fine. I can cope with the interruptions and the irritations and the niggle. But when I get home, the slightest thing sets me off. There's this anger, and I'm expressing it with the people I love the most. That's what normally happens, because the people you love the most will take it more. You're safer expressing it with them than you are with the people at work. So it's often our loved ones who get it because they're a safe target. The good news is that you don't have to carry anger. You don't have to carry anger. You can get rid of it. But it's not easy to fix. And because of that, some of us have chosen to carry it from place to place, from relationship to relationship, and from season to season. Will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at this anger and what God says we should do with it if we are carrying anger together. So Ephesians chapter 4. And this passage really gives me a lot of hope, because anger isn't an issue of circumstances, because you can't control circumstances. So you'd be powerless, wouldn't you? Anger is an issue of the heart. And you can manage your heart. You can. So you do have some power over this. So here's the first verse. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 26 and 27. This is in the NASB. It says this. Be angry. I like that. That's all right. That's encouraging. That's interesting, isn't it? Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Aren't those two first words great? Be angry. It's okay to be angry. Jesus got angry. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. It's realistic. There are moments when anger is appropriate and right. But the command isn't don't be angry. The command is don't be angry and sin. Don't be angry and damage somebody else. And that gives us, and then he gives us this word picture, which probably heard, I suspect most of you heard this in your marriage prep class, all right? If you're married and you went through one of those prep classes, you would have been told this, I have no doubt. It says this, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Were you told that in your marriage prep class? Here's what it means. Don't allow today's anger to carry over to tomorrow. And don't let yesterday's anger be carried into the day. In other words, get rid of anger as soon as possible. That's the Bible's advice. That's God's advice to you and me. Now listen to the reason. For anger gives the devil an opportunity, gives him a foothold. The word devil literally here means accuser, and that's Paul's term for the devil. He is the accuser, and that's important. Paul says, when you not get angry, but when you carry anger, you open a door to the devil in your life. It's like opening your heart and saying, come on in, make yourself at home. When you carry anger, you do that. And you know that people who carry anger wreak havoc wherever they go. A name may spring to mind at the moment. And you know that that free-flowing anger that you've experienced in others is detrimental to all the relationships that that person has. And that's for a reason. Here's the reason. Here's what anger says. This is the heart of anger. Anger says, you owe me. Doesn't it? Anger says, you owe me. Whenever you're hurt by somebody else, whenever you're mistreated by somebody else, whenever you're offended by somebody else, there's a sense in which that person took something very valuable from you. That's what anger does. That's what happens when someone mistreats you. So if somebody at work took your idea, you get angry, but what else? They owe you. They took something that was yours. If you live in a home where somebody took off and left, they took a piece of your childhood from you. They took your trust, your ability to trust in people. If somebody spread gossip about you, they took your reputation from you. And they owe you. They owe you. They took something important. And consequently, your anger says, you owe me. And anger is just like an open door, but it then becomes, because they owe you, it becomes an open account, doesn't it? That's why it's an open door. It's an unfinished ledger. It's a bill that's never been paid. It's something that somebody owes you, and you keep that ledger open. We become bookkeepers. And according to our records, they still owe us. And I refuse to close that account until I get paid back. And then we carry anger through our lives. And as long as that account is open, you will carry that anger. As long as they owe you, you will be angry. Now listen, the worst thing you could ever do to yourself is allow the sun to go down, not on a day of anger, but on a whole season of your life. And some people do that. To let anger carry over from childhood into adolescence, and then from adolescence into marriage. And then from that first marriage, the anger flows into the second marriage. Because when the sun sets on one season of life, here's what happens. It's very easy to lose track of the source of that original hurt and that original anger. That means you're in a new season of life and people just make you mad. And now you're not sure why. Because the anger's carried over from somewhere else and you've lost track of where it came from. People around you may be walking on eggshells and you're not quite sure why they have to do that, but they are. And they're thinking, you know what? I don't think this is an us thing. I don't think this is about us. You brought this anger with you from somewhere else. And when you carry anger, it's so easy to lose sight of where that anger started, who you're really angry at. It just transposes onto new relationships. And you see that in marriage all the time, and it's often too late. If you're dating, if you're in a relationship with an angry person, if you're engaged to an angry person, if you're married to an angry person, you're going to be blamed for things and you just can't understand why. You say to yourself constantly, yeah, all I said was, and the response was disproportionate, wasn't it? All I said was, and you can't understand, and it won't matter how much you apologize. You can apologize till you're blue in the face when they get angry. But the problem is that the open account isn't with you. It's with somebody else. You can't close it for them because it's with somebody else. And you get trapped in apologizing and then blowing up and apologizing and then blowing up. And you can't understand why it can't get fixed because the anger is not with you. The sun has gone down on their anger and they carried it over and they've lost track of where it came from. So listen, if you were God, okay, put yourself in God's shoes. If you were God and you loved you, so God loves you. If you were God and you loved you, what would you say to you if you're a person who's carrying anger? What would God say to you? Well, if God loves you enough, he'll tell you to close the account. He'll tell you to put this anger to rest. That's what he would do if he loves you. So the next verse shouldn't be much of a surprise. Here's what it says. Here's what Paul says. Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness. Now, just to clarify, that's the original Greek. And in the original Greek, get rid of means get rid of. Okay? It's not subtle. Get rid of means get rid of. All bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. He's saying, you know what you do with the rubbish every week? When the bin men, well, every 2 weeks. Used to be every week, didn't it? Cutbacks. Don't get me started. You know what you do with the rubbish every 2 weeks? You put it in that wheelie bin and you take it out of your house. You take it off of your property. He says, do that with your anger. Do that. Get rid of it. And I know you're going to push back on this. And I know. You're saying, I can't just get rid of this anger. It's not that simple, Phil. I can't just dump it. But Paul is pretty insensitive here, isn't he? He's not giving you an option. He says, okay, you go ahead and tell me your story. Tell me what happened to you. Tell me why you're angry. And then he says, and my advice is the same. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Let me ask you, if you walked into a doctor's surgery and he said, you've got cancer and it's eating you alive, what's the first thing you would say to him? Get rid of it. The first thing you would say with something that is killing you, get rid of it. But that doesn't happen with a case of malignant anger. We argue, don't we, over where we got it and how we got it, and we defend it and we justify it. That's what happens with anger. It's very different. And part of the issue with anger is, I feel like, and I get this, I feel like if I just dump this anger at the end of the drive, I'm letting them off the hook. That's what's stopping us, isn't it? I'm letting them off. They hurt me. They owe me. It's not fair. And here's the harsh truth. You're right. It's not. You need to understand this. Getting rid of anger bypasses fairness. It's not fair. It bypasses the issue of ever closing of the account being settled by someone else, then paying you back. It's not fair. The supreme issue, the big issue that we get confused about with anger. The big issue with regard to anger is not justice, it's not fairness. The big issue for you and me when we're angry is getting free of it. That's the big issue. Getting rid of it will be more valuable and more helpful to you than getting paid back. That's the honest truth with anger. And here's, says Paul, here's what I want you to do. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and get this. Now, this is a really tough one. When anger is justified because of what's happened to you, forgive one another. Wow. That is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. Forgive. It's hard because you want to tell me your story and you want to justify why it's not that simple. And you have a terrible story, maybe even from childhood. And we'd all agree, if we heard it today, that is awful. That is horrendous. But the question remains, the simple question is this: how long do you want to carry it? Do you want to get rid of it? Or do you want to carry it for the rest of your days? That's the only question that matters. And you can tell me your story, and my heart would break, and Paul's heart would break, all of our hearts would break. I've sat in the hospital and I've heard people tell me all sorts of stories about what's happened to them. And I've wept with them. Some awful stuff happens to people in this life. But the question is, do you want to get rid of it? The anger that goes along with it. And the only way to get rid of it is to forgive. And I know what you're thinking, but they don't deserve to be forgiven. Exactly. This isn't about fair. This is about getting rid of, which is more important. Because it's hurting you, because it's damaging you, and because it's damaging the people you love, who are the easy target and the safe target for you to vent your anger. It's damaging all of those. What's more important? Fair or getting rid of it? And forgiveness is such a misunderstood concept, isn't it? It all goes back to this debtor, you know, the you owe me bit about anger. It all goes back to that. To forgive is to do what? Is to cancel a debt. That's all it is. It's not to say it wasn't right. It's not to justify it. It's not to minimize it. You're not doing any of that when you forgive somebody. You're just canceling the IOU bit. That's what you're doing. You're not saying it was right. Yes, you should have protected me. Yes, you should have nurtured me. Yes, you should have been there for my graduation. Yes, you should have kept your vows. Yes, you should have kept your word. Yes, you should have, but you didn't. And for years, I've lived with it. For years, it's been eating me away. But today I make a decision. You don't owe me anymore. You are forgiven. Forgiveness closes the door to the devil. Forgiveness closes the account. Forgiveness is the only way you and I break the power of anger in our lives. And I've heard some horror stories from people's lives. It's a sort of occupational hazard I have. I hear these stories all the time, and I've gotten angry with them. I've gotten angry over what I've heard. They've wanted to go out and kill someone, and to be honest, I've wanted to load the gun for them. I really have. But here's what I know. Keeping an open account only hurts me. It's not impacting them. It's making no difference to their daily life, but it's damaging me. And it almost certainly is damaging the people that I love the most. That's what anger does. And just in case you're still arguing about this, let me finish the rest of Paul's verse with you, because this is a real eye-opener, and it's good we've got communion today. Look at this. Forgive one another, what? Just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You still want to talk about unfair? I'm not doing this because it's unfair. Do you want to talk about unfair? You want to talk about the injustice of forgiving somebody else? Let me tell you, forgiveness is deeply unfair. It's deeply unfair. And if it wasn't, you and I this morning would be in real trouble before a holy God who didn't have to forgive us and who paid personally for our sin, for the things we had done to get to him. You know, often we think of sin as breaking rules, that God's this sort of schoolmaster is breaking. That's not sin. Sin is breaking hearts. We broke God's heart. We hurt him, and he forgave us. He forgave us. Let me ask you, how fair is that forgiveness that he has offered to us? Do you want to ask him today, do you want to say to God, God, you should take that back because that's not fair? Do you want to do that with God? Listen, God chose to close the account with you and me, to bear the unfairness of forgiveness. And that gives me hope that we can do the same. We can do the same. And just to help you along, did you realize, here's something really important to realize. You can never really get paid back anyway, can you? Somebody hurt you, did something to you, mistreated you, took something from you. How are they going to pay you back? Seriously, how are they going to do that? You can be mad at Dad for not being there when you were a kid. But if he came to you today and said, son, how can I make it up to you? You know what you'd say? You can't. You just can't. You can't go back in time. You can't give me back my childhood or my first marriage or my reputation. You can't. Pay it back, even if you wanted to. You can't go back and change what has happened. And I appreciate the apology, but in terms of balancing the account, it's in a currency that cannot be paid. It's the reality, isn't it? It can't be paid back. And so God smiles at you and me when we're angry, and he says this, hey, I've got an idea. It's the same idea when I was thinking about you and your debt to me. Why don't we just close the account on this one together? Why don't we do that? Why don't we let it go? Why don't we forgive? Because forgiveness breaks the power of anger. I'm going to give you a few practical tips if you've been carrying anger. Here's what you need to do. Three things that you need to do if you're carrying anger. The first one is this. You have to identify who you're angry with. And that's tricky because you're going to identify the anger with the people around you immediately today. But it might not be anything to do with them. Would you be willing to go back a few seasons? Would you be willing to go back and ask the same question? And it might be somebody you love and respect very deeply who hurt you. Oh, they weren't that bad. Oh, it wasn't their fault. Oh, they didn't mean to. But boy, you're angry about it when you're honest. But you've got to be honest about this because you're angry at everybody else and they can't close the book. They can't do it because they're not the ones who caused it. Will you identify who you're really angry with? And the second thing you need to do is identify what was taken from you. This is the bit that everybody skips. And you can't adequately forgive until you know what has been taken from you that you really valued. What specifically do they owe you? That's the question. Work it out. What do they owe you? And the reality is, if you don't work out that second point, you'll never deal with it. You can't cancel the debt if you don't know what it is. And it might be a bit of an open list. You might start with a blank piece of paper and you'll write something on that. I feel they owed me this. And then you might need to leave that list for a week or two and you'll find you come back to it. And it was this as well. And you need to fill it in. And you need a complete list because the danger is if your list isn't complete, guess what's going to happen? Something's going to bubble up a month, 3 months, a year later. And you haven't identified it. So it needs to be a complete list of what you feel was taken from you. And then the third and the hard thing, the really tough thing, is to cancel that debt. Decide to forgive. And this is where sometimes a bit of ritual can help. People find a little bit of ritual on this forgiving business quite helpful. Some people take that list that they've been sitting on for quite a while and they've added and it's complete and it's all on there. There's nothing else to add. And they might take it out and they might burn it. I heard of a lady who got her list. She took it to the bottom of the garden. She dug a hole. She buried it. And then she put a cross on it. And every time she'd start to think about that person and that anger again, you know what she'd do? She'd look out the patio windows and she said, no, that's buried. That's dead. They don't owe me anymore. And then what you need to do is keep short accounts. From then on, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Drop it and drop it fast. Who was it? What do they owe me? And cancel the debt before the sun goes down. Develop a habit of keeping short accounts with everybody in your life so you can keep your heart clean of things that damage you. So let me ask you the question. Is everything okay in your heart? Has anything taken up residence that is dangerous to you? Are you angry at anybody? Do you have a bit of a short fuse at home? Do you have a short fuse with somebody? Do you have a short fuse with everybody? Do you find yourself overreacting at the smallest of things? And are you now bothered by that? Would you be willing to do that hard work and ask yourself some hard questions? Would you be willing to make that list? Would you be willing, as Paul says, to get rid of it? It's not fair. It's not fair. But it's not about fair. It's about being free of it. Refuse to allow anger to reside in your heart for the rest of your life. Refuse to let it lodge there. Otherwise, the only question left for us will be this: how long will you want to carry it? Because in the end, our decision to carry anger is ours and nobody else's. We can carry it or we can lay it down. The choice is ours. Before we come to communion, it's so appropriate that it's communion today on this Pentecost Sunday. We're going to sing a song and we're going to remind ourselves of standing in the benefit of a forgiveness that was...
Welcome back. I think that was Phil sort of just winding up. They're going to sing a song which doesn't necessarily work online. Powerful sermon.
Very. Yeah, it's very thought-provoking. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know what... There's lots of little things he said that just struck my mind. And one of them is that sort of one of the reasons forgiveness is so hard is that it doesn't feel fair. Mm-hmm. And I guess we've all said, but it is fair. Da, da, da. And his honesty about, no, it's not fair. It's not about keeping things even. It's just forgiving, which I found a real challenge. And in a way, helpful a little bit, is that, the fact that God forgave me fair for the things I've done wrong. So what were your sort of thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's absolutely correct. When he's kind of saying keep short accounts with people, don't overreact to things, where, find the source of that anger, where it comes from and just drop it. Need to deal with it, cut it out, whatever.
Get rid of it.
get rid of it. And that's really important, because, I don't think you're not going to be effective in your Christian life if you're just carrying around all this anger that you can't deal with. You got to give it to God, and I think that's very hard.
I quite like the sentence about you can't control the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So you can't control the circumstances, but you can control your heart and how you react to it. And I will, stupid example, but I'll stick with it for the moment. There will always be a queue at the cash machine,
of course,
and there will always be the person at the front that's taking their time.
Yeah.
I can't control the queue at the cash machine, but I can control how I deal with it. I can either get angry with the person at the front that's taking their time, or I can choose to, if they are doing something stupid, I can choose to forgive them. And I appreciate this is a stupid example, but I'm sticking with it for the moment, is it doesn't make what they're doing right. But it won't affect me and how I get angry.
It's just having that it's grace, isn't it? It's grace. Just kind of let that kind of stuff just fly over your head, just like, it's not going to bother you. Absolutely. You can just let it go, because it's just people being people, right?
And it does come at a cost. And earlier on, we asked people that are online at the moment to let us know in the chat box what made them angry. And thank you for those that let us know. And that those things are really real. And far more serious perhaps than my cash point example, but the same thing goes. It's not right, but we need to try and find it in our hearts to forgive, because that's what God has done for us. Even if people are being completely stupid or difficult or in the way, and that's not easy. And as you say, when you carry it, and Phil makes a point, when you carry these things on and on and on, we just turn into Mr. Angry.
It is just being able to there was this that phrase in there, let go and let God.
Yes, like it.
Yeah, because it just kind of, you need to be able to give this stuff to God. You can't carry it around with you, because it's going to be like just this dead weight in your life. And like Phil said, kind of, you're just going to carry it from one situation or a relationship or whatever it is into the next one, and it's just going to keep causing, it's like compound damage, isn't it? It's never going to go away unless you deal with it and get rid of it, cut it out.
Absolutely. Let's get rid of it. Really powerful sermon. I thought it was a really powerful sermon, and it will definitely speak to some people. Really straight to them. If you know somebody who you think would benefit from hearing what Phil had to say this morning, then please do share it, and that would be a good thing to do. Also, if you've got questions, and then please feel free to email gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. And there will be people that, and as Phil mentioned, Phil works as a chaplain at a hospital, and therefore gets to speak to loads of different people. There will be some people saying, but I can't forgive this. This is too much. And it is that point of just going back and remembering what God has forgiven.
Exactly.
And there is our example. Not easy, not trying to say, just do it. No. But yeah, if you've got questions or you'd like to talk to someone, then email us at Got Questions, and someone will come back to you.
Absolutely.
Do share it.
That was today's episode of Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope it's prompted you to want to follow Jesus, hopefully a lot, but even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us, gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download the Hawley Baptist Church app from the Apple App Store or Google Play to hear it as well. Simply search Hawley Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening to Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we'll see you next time.